You are listening to the Winning Edge podcast, where each week we have a conversation with a different member of the Winning Edge Business Networking Chapter located in Spring Hill, Florida.
Welcome to this episode of the Winning Edge podcast. I am your co-host for this episode, Chris Chambers, and I am joined, as always, with Mr. Andrew Chamberlain. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, Chris. It's good to be here today.
Appreciate you joining us once again. And we have the honor to have a conversation with Mr. David Hand. What is up, David?
Hey, it's great to be with you guys. Thanks so much.
And of course, David holds the bookkeeping seat in our chapter of B&I, the Winning Edge, and his business is Future Focused Bookkeeping. You've been in that business just over a year now, right?
Yeah, just over a year.
And easy peasy, just got to deal with COVID along with building a business. So we'll talk to you a little bit about that.
Kind of no problem at all, was it?
Not at all, never.
Not at all.
Business is easy.
That's right. So anyhow, that's what we want to talk about a little bit. So, you know, what we do, we'll talk to you about you, your family. You have three children. Talk about that a little bit. Talk about some of your hobbies and interests. Then we'll talk about your business, how you came to get in this business. And then we'll talk about, you know, what B&I's, you know, been for you over the last few months as you're a new member in the group. We'll talk about COVID in particular, as I mentioned, and then talk about some referrals. And then Andrew will hit you up with some rapid fire, and we'll go from there, okay?
Cool. Sounds fun.
Well, the question that we like to ask all of our guests is this. Who is David Hand?
Oh, man, that's a big question. Yeah. Man, I mean, you want to hear my origin story?
Please.
Man, I've been in Spring Hill my whole life, born and raised, other than going to college, and just grew up loving spending time with great friends in high school, great family around, and grew up in the church, and that has shaped me in a lot of significant ways, and, you know, have enjoyed getting started at life early. Like, me and my wife both, like, we got married before we could drink. You know, we're like, let's have kids soon. Yeah. We wanted to take on kind of the big stuff in life early and have done that. I mean, we've enjoyed having kids. We're not even 30. We've got three kids, you know.
Yeah, so how old are you? How old are you right now?
Yeah, so I'm 28, almost 29. 28. Yeah.
You remember what it was to be 28? 29?
Yeah, I do.
It wasn't quite as long ago for you as it was
not
for me.
Not for me, but for you, Chris.
So 28, getting ready to turn 29. Wife, same age? Or?
Yeah, we're the same. She actually turned 29, so I married the older lady.
No, nice.
Only by like 6 months. But
and her name's Kayla, right?
Kayla, yeah. My wife, Kayla, and we've got three kids.
Three kids, all right.
Yeah, so Jade, she's six, and then we've got a three-year-old, Evelyn, and then our youngest son, Archer. He's 1 year old, and so.
So two girls and one boy. That is the same with me. No, Andrew's the opposite. He's got two boys and one girl. Very good. And then you mentioned you grew up in Spring Hill. So what schools did you go to when you?
Man, I went to a few different ones. So mostly Christian schools. So like I think it was Faith Christian Academy, which is just like hides off a county line road. I spent a little bit of time at Suncoast Elementary. Went to. Also West Hernando Christian School, which is out heading out to Hernando Beach. That's where I graduated from. And those friendships those are my lifelong friendships. Mm-hmm. A lot of people talk about if they get to go to college, you know, going to college, meeting their lifelong friends there. I made some great friends in college, but the people that I'm closest to are the people that I went to basketball games with, yeah, and went to class with, and those high school friends. In fact, my best friend married my sister, to school together. And so, yeah.
Very cool. And then, so you grew up. Oh, you went to West Hernando, right?
Yep.
And that's where you graduated.
Yep.
And then you went off to college to Southeastern
University in Lakeland. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's where I got married. And when we were having our first child, we had finished school, getting jobs, working. And when we were having our first, we're like, you know what? We have a lot of great friends here, but we want to be around family to raise our kids. And so mm-hmm. we ended up moving back this way.
Yeah, very good. And again, not to be confused with Florida Southern, also in Lakeland, right?
Yes, correct.
Southeastern is the school that you you attended there. Then you came back. You actually became the principal of the school you graduated from. Is
yeah,
that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And again, just to be clear, you're 28 right now, so you were a young principal.
Yeah, very. I think cool, I was, man. If I remember correctly, I was 23 when I got hired.
Wow.
Yeah, the principal there had been there for, she'd been at the school since it started in that role for 16 years. And she's like, hey, I heard you're coming back to Spring Hill. I want to talk to you. And I thought maybe she'd offer me a job. Mm-hmm. And instead, she offered me her job.
Wow.
So I worked under her for a year, which was phenomenal. I mean, she did a great job of transitioning that. And then I got to be in that role for 3 years, learned a ton, loved it, loved that school. My wife teaches there in first grade this year. I've got two of my kids there. It's great.
Well, I'm just curious. So, I mean, you mentioned, you know, you and your wife kind of started with some of these bigger lifetime, you know, things, children and marriage early. Do you think that prepared you to take on a leadership role like that at a younger age?
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was being around people that were pushing me. That require, you know, I've always felt like I was kind of thrown into the fire. You know, it's like that has been the way that I've grown the most is, man, try something that's outside of your comfort zone.
And as far as interest and hobbies, what do you do for fun, man?
Love to read, love to kayak, and love to be outdoors.
Yeah. And as far as let's start with the reading there, what do you like to read?
A lot of nonfiction business and leadership books, okay. Things about character and faith for sure. And I'm getting into fiction. So some classic novels, but also read through the Harry Potter series recently.
Hey, LT would say that is a classic. So
it,
yeah, LT, she was a fan. So that's good. It's good stuff.
It really is. They're just, it's fun to read. And yeah. Most of the reading I do is more for information.
I'm curious, you know, side note here. Yeah. Wonder what, you know, 50 years, 100 years.
Mm-hmm. We'll say,
yeah, Harry Potter. Like, oh my goodness, this classic series, mm-hmm. You know? Maybe. I think it will be that case, don't you?
At this point, I would think you're probably right.
Yeah. People, it'll probably be very, you know, have like its own following and I mean, it already does or already did, but, mm-hmm. You know, yeah, that's cool.
I did want to ask this because, again, just before we move forward, with you said you used to read nonfiction, you started reading some fiction. How different is it to read nonfiction versus fiction?
I mean, as far as the actual content, it definitely requires a little bit more thinking when you're reading through, you know, a nonfiction. But I have noticed that I tend to get really valuable things out of even fiction books. Mm-hmm. They're just different. Mm-hmm. Instead of trying to digest content in a way that's, you know, very kind of analytical,
yeah.
I'm learning things more about relationships or just the way that maybe different people respond. It helps you kind of broaden your perspective.
Yeah. One of the things I love, actually, when I'm reading nonfiction, a lot of times the authors will talk about, hey, there's this fiction, you know, a lot of classic kind of fiction novels and things, and they'll bring in, you know, different characters and things like that, and say, hey, this is what happened, you know, in their story, and kind of help to relate that to you know, whatever it is that, you know, real life. And anyway, I find that very, very interesting. We were mentioning Dr. Pryor up at Southeastern up in North Carolina earlier. She's got, you know, several books where she does that, but anyhow. Let's get back to David Hand here. So future-focused bookkeeping. What got you into that business? You mentioned you were a principal at 23, so what happened?
Yeah, well, so I really found, I mean, I've always been good at anything analytical, anything related to math, you know, problem solving, I've enjoyed. But in the role there specifically, I really loved getting to lead the financial side of a school. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was, you know, you wear a million hats when you're, but I loved getting to dig into the numbers and help make critical decisions that helped the school be more healthy mm-hmm. long term. And I really enjoyed it. And I found that I was able to provide valuable insight in that role. And so it was when I had to make a change because of family, I was, you know, trying to evaluate, okay, what's going to be the next thing? And I just wanted, I saw so many other people struggling in small businesses with finances, good Christian people, good ethical people, good people who wanted to make a difference in the world mm-hmm. through their profession mm-hmm. and were struggling to do that well. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to be the person that could help them, you know, on the path to success.
And just going back real quick, so you have a bachelor's in admissions, you got a master's in secondary education as well.
Yeah.
And again, obviously, one of the tenets of BNI is, you know, a lifelong learner. You know, obviously, you're continuing to read. You have your master's degree. You worked in in school for quite some time. You learned quite a bit, and then you decided to take those skills that you've learned over the years, and now you're applying it to businesses with your business. Is that
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Talk a little bit about kind of bookkeeping and how you can help or how you do rather help businesses, you know, do better, do business better.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of put things into three buckets. So okay. The first one is compliance. So mm-hmm. This is kind of the low level, just it's a need. Mm-hmm. And so compliance work would be basically keeping yourself out of trouble, making sure you're taking the right taxes out of payroll, making sure that you're submitting the right estimated taxes as a sole proprietor, making sure that you're not trying to take write-offs that you shouldn't, things like that. And so that's the kind of compliance work. That's just making sure that what should be is. And so that's the first piece. And that's just a kind of a necessary thing. The next would be time and efficiency, creating processes around the financial piece so that small business owners and organizations can focus on the things that only they can do. Mm-hmm. You know, as a small business owner, especially, you tend to wear the chief everything officer hat. You mm-hmm. know, it's yeah. it's everything.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, bookkeeping and keeping up with the financial piece is not their favorite. It may not be their forte. They might be great at what they do, but that's a piece that they don't really love. And as a result, it gets put off. Mm-hmm. And so helping create a system mm-hmm. for them, mm-hmm. getting the work done so that they can not worry about it so much anymore and get their time back to focus on more critical things. And the third bucket is the piece that I love the most, which is providing that financial guidance and insight, helping them to make the kinds of decisions that are going to help them be more profitable. You know, creating a long-term plan, figuring out what cash flow is going to look like over the next 12 months or 6 months, helping them figure out, well, hey, if I invest in this piece of equipment or in this this specific advertising, what's the return on investment going to be? How's this going to affect me over the long run mm-hmm. so that I can make those decisions that are going to actually help instead of running into a cash flow problem? Because yeah. the statistics say from Small Business Administration that 80% of small businesses close in the first 5 years, and the primary reason is because of cash flow issues.
Yeah.
So let's get that solved so that you can really be a successful, profitable business, because profitable businesses are the ones that make the best difference.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not profitable, you're probably not going to be able to fulfill the mission that you've set out to accomplish.
So one of the things I wanted you to speak to, if you would, for a moment, it sounds like it would fit into well, really all three of these. But there was a book that I read not too long ago called Profit First, right?
Profit First, yeah.
Now, can you talk a little bit about kind of what that is all about?
Yeah, so this is by Mike Michalowicz. He's got some other great books for entrepreneurs. But the Profit First piece is his framework for basically helping small business owners, without having to know the bookkeeping and the accounting knowledge to an extreme degree, help keep track of their finances in a really healthy way. Mm-hmm. And basically he says you need to set up multiple business accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So you get money coming in, you need to put some right away for taxes. Move it as soon as possible. You need to move it into an account that's specifically for paying your taxes, because yeah. you don't want to see $20,000 in your mm-hmm. checking account
yep.
and then forget that you owe five of that right. to somebody else. Yep. It's not your money.
Yep.
He also talks about giving yourself a salary. You mm-hmm. need to provide yourself a normal salary, and then create a profit bucket, like an account specifically for the profits out of your business.
Mm-hmm.
And once every so often, he would recommend every quarter, if you're in the space in your business where it's maybe once a month, you need to reevaluate, okay, here's how much profit we've made.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to reinvest this in the business? Am I going to take some of this out as kind of the icing on the cake, because I own a business, and so I get to take profit in addition to a salary. And it helps create a really clear picture of your finances mm-hmm. in a very short amount of time, because yep. you literally can just open up your yep. open up the app on your phone and see your bank balances, and you can see, okay, here's what I've got to operate with, mm-hmm. here's what I've got saved for taxes, here's what I've got to as profit so far. And it really is a very helpful way to get a quick glance at how your money is going. Yep. You use this in your own business, don't
you?
I do,
yeah, absolutely. This was probably a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I was reading this book, and I'm like, man, my biggest problem was, again, having that snapshot, quick view, hey, how am I doing? What's the health of the firm? And when I saw this, I'm like, boom, kind of, lights went off. Yes, this makes sense. And I've been doing it ever since. And it helps me to know, okay, I'm in good shape, or hey, I need to do something here or there. And so, especially with that taxes, I remember being told that before I opened the firm, hey, make sure you set aside. But then actually doing that, once you start bringing money in, is critical and crucial. So no, that's a good word, man, for sure. Now, a few months ago, you joined the Winning Edge, and you did so on Zoom.
Yeah, 3 months ago, and I had the privilege of coming to a meeting in person as a visitor 6 months previous.
Mm-hmm.
But I came in the middle of the Zoom stuff. But for me, it was nice, because that's how I operate a lot of my business. I have mm-hmm. some people that I meet with in person, but a lot of my clients, I work with people remotely. Some of them I've never been to their site because they're far away.
Yeah.
And I'm used to that world. And so it was nice to be able to jump in, and I felt comfortable doing so.
And interestingly, again, pre-COVID, you and your wife, again, with your children, and she was going to go back into teaching and everything. And so you made a decision, right, to start your own business. And it was a business in which you were working from home, right, from a home office.
Yeah. Have a home office, because why pay for a building mm-hmm. when yeah. I don't need it?
Sure.
My clients are never going to show up there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I work out of my home office, and Yeah, and so because of that, I just from the get-go was going to make this a remote thing. Mm-hmm. This was going to be done virtually as much as possible, because it also I can reflect the costs with other people, with my mm-hmm. clients. You know, if I don't have to pay $1,000 a month for a building sure. that nobody's going to use except
yeah.
me,
yeah.
well, then I can. I know that that's a piece of overhead I don't have to worry about absolutely. For somebody.
Well, again, and the reason I brought that up was because COVID hit just a few, you know, what, 6 months or so after started your business, and you were already set up remotely. A lot of people were having to transition and try to figure out, all right, how are we going to make this work? You were already in a position where nothing had to change, right?
Right. Yeah, I already had the technology that I knew I needed to make it work, the processes in place to be efficient in that environment. And so, yeah, I was one of the lucky ones mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah.
I didn't have to make much of a pivot other than it was now much more clear why this was a valuable model.
Yeah.
I'd like to add in just real quick there. I think that, you know, take this as a question slash comment, you
yeah.
know, comment slash question, I should say. That kind of mindset, it doesn't just have to be COVID, because I mean, we're always going to be facing those types of things to be thinking, what's the name of your business again?
Future Focused Bookkeeping.
Ah, see, that's a good name, because why? I mean, you're always going to be dealing with that. So
yeah,
I'm sure that was some thought into that. Like, hey, how can we keep this going regardless of the circumstance?
Yeah. Yeah. And part of it was even very specifically, I had a background running a private school. Like, I was the principal for 3 years. And so I knew that if I was going to try to help any other Christian schools, then I wouldn't, geography was going to create a problem unless I was doing this remotely. And so that was even a thought in my mind, that if I'm going to do this kind of work to help other private schools, other charter schools, then if I'm going to do that, I need to have a model that works from anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Phenomenal.
Now, you mentioned you visited B&I when we were in person, you visited the chapter, and then you joined it once we were, you know, on Zoom. What were your initial thoughts? Again, you've been B&I now for about 3 months. So what are your thoughts? And if you could kind of compare, 6 months prior to joining, and then what are your thoughts now 3 months after joining?
Yeah. So prior to joining, the camaraderie was cool. It was a little intimidating mm-hmm. to walk into that room because, I mean, it's a professional group.
Yeah.
Man, you guys, I've been to a couple other chapters. Like, you guys run a great, productive, professional meeting, but it was a little intimidating to me, mm-hmm. you know, even though I'd been in that kind of environment to step in kind of new. And so it was, but it was really nice to get to see the camaraderie that was happening among the people who were already a part of the group.
Yeah.
Had a couple people that did a great job connecting me. Now, though, I think stepping in Zoom is actually a little less intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
At least in my case, the technology yep. hurdle was not an issue to me. I was comfortable. And so that was nice. The one, my biggest concern, though, I had a concern coming into B&I, which was, is this going to be salesy mm-hmm. or is this going to be, business only without the integrity and the relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found the opposite to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this is a group of people who the relationships, both professional and personal
yeah.
are phenomenal, and people really do strive to uphold a high level of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm loving being a part, and it forces me, as far as being on Zoom, I just know that if I'm going to really develop connections, it forces me to do one-to-ones,
mm-hmm.
you know, which we're all doing anyways. We've all signed up for that, but I want to do those one-to-ones because it allows me to develop a relationship and a connection with somebody that is a little hard to do when you're not face-to-face and spending that time together.
I know, you know, early on when I joined, I've been in for a little over 3 years. And when I first joined, getting to do those one-to-ones, getting to meet different business owners in different, a variety of businesses was huge for me, because you learn so much, you
yeah.
know, about so many different things. And as we've mentioned too, you know, we have, because of that, we also have so many different types of businesses that we can refer our clients to, which again makes us better at our jobs, you know?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. Like, you don't realize how much of a benefit that's going to be, how much going to even help you in whatever business you're in. It's just really fascinating to, like, you can learn so much from some others. So
yeah.
It's really cool.
Now, future-focused bookkeeping. You've told us a little bit about how you can help clients. Who are you looking for? Who are the clients that that you can best help?
Yeah, so that falls into really two buckets. The first would be the sole proprietors, or maybe they've got a couple of sub...
David likes buckets, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, I've said that now a couple of times.
I like it.
I can use categories.
So we know, Tommy, you know what to get him now, a bucket. That's what we get.
Yeah, but, two categories, we'll say, of people. The first would be those, like, sole proprietors. Maybe they've got a couple of subcontractors or a couple of employees, but they are they probably don't have the great processes around the finances. They're probably making do. I mean, they're in business. They're doing it, but it's probably a little overwhelming, a bit of an administrative headache. They're trying to learn a million things because that's what business is. You're learning a ton.
Maybe they have shoeboxes full of receipts or even digital shoeboxes.
Digital shoeboxes. I like that one today. That was good.
Yeah, right? And so being able to help create a really streamlined process for them to keep track of all of those things and create a really clear financial picture and relieve them of the burden of having to do all of that themselves so that they can work on marketing their business, doing their work for their clients, and really doing a great job on value add activities.
And just real quick before you get to the second one, do you work based on is it an hourly rate? Is it a project based flat fee? Is it a monthly fee? How do you do?
Yeah, I do monthly recurring because I don't. For a lot of people, the idea of an unknown hourly rate that turns into something different every month. Sure. And so so I actually and I usually know going in that I'm going to do more work than is profitable for me on the front end while we get those systems and processes set up. But I know that I don't want to run a big setup fee for somebody. I don't want to have them to worry about like, here's what you're signing up for monthly. It's this price. And we're going to, it varies. Like we'll come up with our own monthly based on the size of the client, the complexity, what exactly their needs are. But we come up with a monthly rate and we just do that month to month. I don't make anybody sign up for a year or anything like that. I think that if I'm doing a good enough job, I don't have to worry about whether you're going to cancel next month.
Right. Yeah. You're going to retain your clients.
Yeah,
absolutely. So you have number one type of referral earlier, kind of small businesses, sole proprietorships, those with just a few employees, just starting out, you'll get them kind of in order. And what's the second?
Second would be some of those slightly larger businesses, some of them, 30, 50 employees even, but they don't have somebody who's a great finance person on their staff. So a lot of times what I'll find is maybe they've got somebody who's doing bookkeeping and something else. Maybe they're kind of like the admin person and they do some of the data entry, but they are not necessarily skilled at improving the processes or providing the insight. Once they've got the work done, the data entry piece is finished, well, what do you do with it? And kind of nobody's got that eye for how do we analyze this in a way that's actually going to be helpful? How do we determine what the key financial metrics are that we got to keep track of and budget or cash flow for future months? And so that's the next piece is helping come in and provide that maybe higher level of financial insight for a larger, mid-sized business.
And then somebody's listening and they fall into one of these categories. And they think, I think David and Future Focus Bookkeeping might be able to help me out. How to get a hold of you?
Phone call or email is the best. Okay. You can also book a call right on my website. So if you go to futurefocusbookkeeping.com, you can click on the link to schedule some time and we can just talk through, what's a great way for you to what are your needs? Mm-hmm. What are you looking for? And we can see if it's a good fit or not. And so that website is futurefocusedbookkeeping.com, or you can call. It's 352-247-2269, or just shoot me an email at david@futurefocusedbookkeeping.com.
All right, easy enough. Well, Andrew, hit us up with some rapid fire.
Here we go. You ready?
I am ready.
Best book. Now, I will say this. You cannot reuse Harry Potter for this one. Fair?
Fair.
All right. Best book, business, networking, otherwise, you have ever read?
Ordering Your Private World by Gordon MacDonald.
Ah.
Real quick, just briefly explain what it's about. I'm just curious.
Yeah. So Ordering Your Private World, basically this guy, he was overwhelmed and like just crashed, burned out, like 30 years old because he was running himself rampant and didn't have a balanced life. And it was how he recovered from that and learned how to develop a life that allowed him to lead effectively without sacrificing his family, basically. And some really great practical insights. It felt like he was reading my mail when I read it.
What was the author's name again?
Gordon MacDonald.
Gordon MacDonald. Yep.
All right. Most important networking trait?
I would say probably dependability, consistency. Maybe it's top of mind because I know I have to be very intentional about being consistent, making sure that I'm following up or following through exactly when I say. It's something that I had to work hard at being. But I think it's super valuable because it's what I look for in others. If I know that I can count on you, you're going to do what you say. And so I try to emulate that as well.
I was just having a conversation with somebody this morning and mentioning, hey, this individual, every time I see her, she tells me, hey, let's get together, let's do this, and never follows up. So I agree with you. Obviously, dependability and that follow through is critical. Now, again, it goes to your own credibility, right, as a business owner. So
yeah, that's great. If you could go back in time and talk to your younger self, What is one networking secret that you wish you would have known when you started?
That it matters. That networking matters.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was younger, it just didn't. I felt like that was not really that important. Would it really be valuable and beneficial? But it matters. I would have told myself, do it.
Awesome. What is one business tip that you wish you had known sooner?
To be consistent. I wish somebody had just sat me down and said, if all else fails, just make sure you execute on what you say you're going to execute on. Don't flop on anything. Just be the kind of person who's a man of your word in business and in life.
Awesome. And what is the most profound piece of advice you wish you had known sooner about life in general?
And this applies to business, but I think it can fit in other places. But your business should fit into your life. You don't need to make your life fit around your business. And I just think that it's a trap we can all get into of chasing success, maybe, whatever that looks like to us, and sacrificing some of the things that are most important. And so I wish I'd been told that in a good, in a way that would have impacted me when I was a little younger.
All right. Well, great. Well, David, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Winning Edge podcast. David Hand, we appreciate it, man.
Hey, thank you guys. I've enjoyed being part of it.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening to the Winning Edge podcast. Please be sure to check out the show notes for contact information for each of our guests, links to their websites, and links to more information about the topics discussed in this episode. Until next week, happy networking.